This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, on duty with an overview of a number of things that affect the farm, your family, and food. That's the connection here. The locavores who listen to this program and love the products that we talk about, the way farm life is going, how you're conducting yourself, what do you have for questions, and what do I have for answers, and who do we talk to, all of that together every week. And our podcast, don't forget about that, that's available every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. The most recent one is me talking about the Chinese and how I will not buy any food or anything that has anything to do with China. That's my pledge. I will not buy Chinese, no matter what. And when you look around and you see the info that's coming from Sioux Falls and the way the Chinese company that's basically connected to the Chinese government, but is a Wuhan-based firm that bought out Smithfield Farms, what's going on in Sioux Falls and what's going on with our with the whole business of pork production, it's disgraceful isn't even the word for it. The problem is that we've got lots of other, you know, you look at that situation there, Smithfield, and the fact that they own Nathan's Hot Dogs, and the meat processing plants have been forced to close because of what's going on with the coronavirus. And in terms of the actual news, how people are being affected, if you're a pork producer, you know that most of the pork goes into, if it isn't going to an individual butcher or a small local processor and sales representative, most of it is going to brands like Smithfield and Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs. And so this group from China, WH, which stands for Wuhan, they bought out Smithfield 3-4 years ago at the objection of a lot of farmers, farm groups, but the Justice Department said, oh, no, don't worry about it. Well, now they've made a mess of the pork producers. And I think I said this last week. If I didn't, the news is that they have applied for help from the federal government. The Chinese want help from our government after they ruined this company. Anyway, there's a whole, the Farmer Relief Fund is something else that's very much in the focus here of the news this week, whether or not there is a plan. There is a lot of talk, but, and there supposedly is money in this new bill that's been passed to help the farmer. But for the most part, farmers once again have been ignored, at least in my read on this, the way the farmers have been avoided in this by the administration, the kind of information or lack thereof that's coming forward about COVID-19 and what farmers are concerned about, what they can do and what they can't do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, what should be grown, what shouldn't be grown, you know, all of that sort of thing. Elsewhere on the news desk here this week, Lando Lakes has dropped the use of the Native American logo from their butter products. Who knew that the lady who was on the cover of their Land O'Lakes products, you know, mostly butter and that sort of thing, was a Native American named Mia, who actually existed about 100 years ago. But now Land O'Lakes says they're going to take it off of their packaging because it's on butter and cheese and creams and all that sort of stuff. But they're having their 100th anniversary as well. They say that they need to change their packaging and their image. So that's what they're going to do. I thought that was kind of interesting. This is a farmer-owned company, by the way. Do you know that Land O'Lakes is a co-op? Most of you, or many of you, I hope, know that, especially given what's going on in the dairy sector. People should know who's controlling the milk supply and where it's going. I'm going to talk about that in my comment later on in the broadcast, the dumping of milk and what's going on. Are companies or co-ops like Land O'Lakes buying more so they can help the government feed people, put it through programs? The government says they're going to buy $3 billion worth of products, dairy, And I'd like to see it come from the small farmers, not from these big ag businesses. Let's see how that works out. Especially when you think about, there's some good news on the horizon. You know, I always sound like I'm down in the dumps on some of this stuff because I am a dairy guy and I'm really concerned about where we're going in terms of small family dairies. But one of the things that's happening that's good, that's kind of unexpected as a result of the coronavirus, is the boom in business in direct-to-consumer home deliveries of milk. National Dairy Council says this week it's been getting a number of reports from local dairies, local farmers, who have gone back to milk delivery services to get people who want to go into this, you know, the stuff that comes from the smaller farmers that's produced, you know, and the process they go through is much different than the huge conglomerates. So the milk is much better. And so they're going back to the old little box on your back porch and putting glass bottles in there two or three times a week. Drivers and trucks that have been assigned to restaurant or school orders are doing the home deliveries now for many Americans, and they're promoting it the right way. So an idea for many of you who are dairymen, think about how you maybe can get together, form a co-op with four or five other dairies and produce the milk or process it yourself, and then deliver it. Wow, what a concept. That'll stop the dumping of milk, or certainly I hope it will impact it one way or another. So in a moment, we're going to meet a professor of field crop pathology who's from Iowa State. I think you'll find this information compelling at this time of year when we're all getting ready to seed. Let me give you some information about how farmers can get rest. We need it dawn to dusk. Have dinner, go to bed, get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to work. That's the way it works. So in order to stay healthy and get well rested every night, you need pillows from MyPillow, the pillows that are comfortable. You can shape them for your neck and your head. Also wash them. I'm washing mine every week. Go to MyPillow.com. See all the various pillows that are there. Tons of them. MyPillow pet beds, bed toppers, seat cushions, roll-and-go pillows, the Giza Dream Sheets. All of them are on sale. 66% off using the code DJV when you check out. That's right. Radio listener special page, after you've looked at the MyPillow catalog, use the promo code DJV. Be safe. Sleep well. Get rested so you can attack all of the work that needs to be done on the farm at this time of year. MyPillow.com. Use the code DJV to save 2/3.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
Let's face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at LightStream.com/radio and get an additional interest rate discount. That's LightStream.com/radio for an additional discount. LightStream.com/radio.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% AutoPay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/radio for more information.
Continuing on now on this week's American Family Farmer, I want to introduce you to Paul Esker. Dr. Esker is assistant professor of epidemiology and field crop pathology from Iowa State University. So what does that mean? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, Dr. Esker. What does it mean to study epidemiology and field crop pathology?
I graduated from Iowa State, and then I've worked in different institutions. I'm currently in Pennsylvania at Penn State, but the epidemiology, since COVID-19 is in the news, that's the easiest way to explain it. Much like we do in the human sector for epidemiology, what are the causes of diseases? How might you mitigate those diseases? I do the exact same thing except in plants.
To talk about it again, thinking about the controversy that's created, I'm somebody on my farm. I'm a cow guy, but I'm doing a lot of hay reseeding this spring. But I've grown a lot of corn over the years, and I've never used any of the products that come from Monsanto because I just don't believe in it. I believe in using a cultivator, actually, and doing it the old-fashioned way. And I wonder about what, as you look at some of the seed treatments, it doesn't all have to be what Monsanto does. How do we increase or how do we protect what we're planting? Is there something, is that which part of what you're studying with field crop pathology?
Yeah, more or less, that's the exact way to look at it. Which diseases, these are all soil-borne diseases, we're typically focusing on which ones are most problematic and which ones would warrant the use of a seed treatment. And then depending on the disease, obviously which type of seed treatment, because they're not all the same. We try to understand those factors, but as you saw in the report, in the writings I've done with several colleagues, many farmers actually don't know what they're putting out there. They don't know what's on the tag, let's say,
right.
And that really challenges this.
Well, they believe the advertising that comes from Monsanto and Bayer and DuPont and whomever else that you'll be able to grow more or you can make more money. You can grow more and you can make more money if you're not concerned about what's in the soil. That brings me around to asking you, you made mention of the diseases. How did these diseases, the soil problems that we have, the diseases that are of the soil, how do they get started?
For many of them, these organisms are already in the soil, and then what we've done to produce the crops, let's say, or sort of the terrain, the topography of the field will influence which ones are most problematic. In some ways, many of these survive well in soil for long periods of time, so it's not just turning on a light switch and moving to something else, let's say, and being able to remedy this. For example, very simply, the concept of rotating, let's say, soybean to corn isn't really a rotation to help alleviate problems in the soil for one or the other crops. We have to look more broadly that way, and we have to understand those conditions. But a lot of it is that these are ubiquitous. They're kind of there in the soil, but then our practices have allowed them to increase in severity.
So my philosophy, tell me if I'm right or wrong, I'm certainly open to learning. I think that's why I love doing this program, because I learn so much, kind of in a selfish way, to make my own farming better, my practices better. But one of the things that I always tell people about what's in the soil, if it's well kept, these microbes that come, for example, the dairy or any cow, what comes out of the rear end of the cow is really an enhancer to the soil. And I look at it every once in a while. I use this as an example where a cow has plopped its excrement. If you look a day or two after at that, where that circle is, you'll see the grass around it a lot greener. And my understanding is that's because of the microbial stuff that's in the cow's gut. When it comes out, it helps to enhance and make the soil healthier. Am I right?
Correct. And that's actually something with the tools and technologies we have today. We're starting to look more closely at that microbial makeup, what's in the soil, to try to understand which organisms are more beneficial, where are they most beneficial, and how could we improve the areas that are not producing maybe where you would like them to be.
All right. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's. I want to focus on how we do it if we don't have access to manure. We're having a conversation with Dr. Paul Esker, professor of epidemiology and field crop pathology at Penn State. I said he was from Iowa State. He went to Iowa State, but he's now at Penn State. We continue on this week's American Family Farmer.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day?
Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function.
Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out.
You're only at your best when your mind is at its best.
Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down. Baby, take my arm.
Doug Steffen here on the American Family Farmer. Check out the podcast every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. We'll have a podcast of our visit here with Dr. Esker. That'll be up on the site next week. Dr. Esker is in charge of field crop pathology, teaching at Penn State. It's research extension teaching. He's been around, though. He got his degree, as I mentioned earlier, from Iowa State. I went to school in Ohio, so I guess that slips into my jargon. You also were in Brazil, though, for a while. You worked at a number of schools. What did you learn, or did they learned from you when you went to work in some of these other areas before you came back to work at Penn State?
Well, I've had a luxury. I've been lucky to be able to work internationally, and so my time in Brazil, it was really a two-way street, because at that time this was in the early phases of when soybean rust was thought to be really problematic and could impact the entire soybean system here in the U.S. So by being in Brazil, I was able to learn from them what they were seeing on the ground. My background is also in statistics, but applied to agriculture. So I was working closely with a lot of them on data analysis, how to look at the data. I also worked in Costa Rica, which was a bit different. Obviously, it was tropical crop production there mostly, and working in the banana sector, and also working closely in rice and coffee production. A lot of that was how to take data, understand the data, make better use of the data for decision-making, for best management practices or others.
Mm-hmm. Now, who knew that there was so much intrinsic information that comes as a result? But you can study anything if you really want to get down into the, if you'll pardon the pun, the weeds of it to understand what goes on. Most farmers I think the younger farmers becoming more sophisticated, more exposed, more interested in the information that you and others who are doing this have. The bigger the farm may be, I'm not even sure that's fair. I think the younger the farmer, the more exposed they are. Maybe that's not fair to farmers who are my age, but I know most of the farmers who are my age do it the old way. As I said a few minutes ago, and I think I want to go back to that, what I learned about microbial input was a result of somebody attacking me once for having cows and how I was ruining the
methane gas was ruining the atmosphere, and I immediately countered with my just told story about the microbes that come out of the rear end of the cow, and that shut them up. So, you know, where there's bad, there's also good. So what do we do now? There's less cow manure because there are less dairies around. So how are we enhancing, what can we do to enhance the microbes? Can we do it with pig manure or compost, or how do we do this?
Well, some of it we can do with pig manure or chicken litter, the chicken manure as well. I'm here in Pennsylvania, and we've seen a dramatic, pretty large increase in poultry production.
Yes.
But you still have the same set of questions. Obviously, here we have an environmental concern because we're in the Chesapeake Bay area, mm-hmm. and we have to be very careful about the application of manure on the fields. Some other things we can do, though, is increase our use of cover crops. This allows us to fallow the ground in a better way, put some of that organic matter back into the soil, allow the microbes to work, do their part. Here, because of the Chesapeake Bay and the water quality situation, we have many farmers who have adopted no-tillage technologies for a very long period of time to keep soil erosion from occurring. That also helps maintain stability in the soil. Obviously, there's biological products or what we're also talking about, synthetic pesticides, but those we always want to make sure they're being used for the right reasons, no matter what compound you're using.
Right. Yep. All right. We'll continue along here. Dr. Esker from Penn State, some information that's very helpful no matter where you are. I want to talk to you about what I've done with 40 or 50 acres of land. I've just let it rest for 3 or 4 years, done nothing with it. I want to know if that was the right thing to do, because a lot of people probably doing that as well.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault. A miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic. No batteries required. Only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DV design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Governors are weighing the risks of the coronavirus as they begin the move to ease some restrictions. Even as some close contact businesses have reopened in Georgia following a month-long shutdown, there are business owners who remain confused. Pooler, Georgia salon owner Nikki Scott is one of them.
They say you can open your salon. Okay, perfect. With what?
So what's the rules? What's the regulations?
Restaurants and bars open in Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee, among other states, on Monday. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on what should remain off limits in his state.
The most dangerous places are salons and gyms. The CDC makes that abundantly clear. The doctors advising me make that abundantly clear. Dr. Birx has made that abundantly clear. Do not cause any harm to yourself or to others by engaging in activities that could pose a danger.
This is USA Radio News. As the coronavirus pandemic drags on, more people are becoming increasingly worried about cash flow. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg reports.
President Trump signs the $480 billion stimulus package at the White House. Now, many Democrats are already pushing for a Phase 4 stimulus package, which would include money for state and local governments. But according to Republican Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, we need to be thinking about one thing.
Here's what we need to focus on going forward, jobs. We've got 27 million people unemployed. Government shut down the economy in order to deal with this health crisis. We need to get that economy open back up. And to do that, we've got to get people back to work. We've got to get them jobs. So my message to my colleagues is jobs, jobs, jobs. Any future rescue package has got to focus on getting people rehired, supporting the payrolls of business so that workers can get their jobs back, can have their wages covered, and get back to work.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Another half hour of the American Family Farmer Show. AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com is where you find the podcast to connect the resources that we come up with here to try to help the family farmers and their patrons understand what's going on the farm, how we can make it better. So I mentioned a few minutes ago, Dr. Esker, Paul Esker is here with us, assistant professor of epidemiology and field crop pathology at Penn State at the Research Extension Teaching Center that's there. Penn State, one of the great ag schools. I think the land bank, the Commonwealth states, the land bank colleges do a great job of this. Massachusetts, where I am, the UMass system is good. Do you think, am I right, or am I just thinking that and it's not really true? Do you think some of the land grant colleges and the Commonwealth states, the five or six of them, have a better ag program than others?
Well, I think what helps us is we have stability with our funding structures, and we've had a long mission, if you will, going way back to the original acts in the 1800s. That's helped us maintain stability. It gives us a voice, I think, with our stakeholders, with the agricultural sector, whether you're organic, conventional, you name it. And more than anything is many of our farmers really trust us because we do try our best to bring unbiased information to the table, and we're doing stuff on farm, not just on research farms or in the laboratory. We're working closely with them, which is, I think, really critical to maintain that high level of trust.
I work, well, in my sector here as a broadcaster and as a farmer, I get access to a lot of information that a lot of people just don't either have time for or get access to. I read four or five different periodicals every week, and I must say, I think we found you in the Modern Farmer, which is a magazine that I quite like,
because it does address a lot of the issues that, quote unquote, modern farming and farmers need to have on top of mind. In this circumstance, I think we're addressing that very well. I'm going to ask you one question, then we'll move on. What I said a few minutes ago about me letting, I had 40, 45 acres of state land that I've just left alone. In truth, I left it alone because I stopped growing corn. I stopped milking cows 4 years ago, so I'm raising Jersey heifers now on the farm, and I don't need silage. So I stopped growing corn, and I was going to grow hemp on that land, but the state of Massachusetts has so messed up the hemp program that I'm not going to wait any longer. And I wonder if letting this group of fields together just lay fallow for 3 to 4 years will help them in and of itself, because there was nothing growing there, and I kept the weeds down by continually harrowing it.
Actually, I do think that will help you. For whatever crop you might consider putting back in there, we do know that extended periods, like the longer you leave a specific crop out of the rotation, extend that out years, whether it's fallowed or with another crop, it does help. If you've kept the weed pressure especially down, that's huge, because you're keeping the weed seed banks down, which should allow you then to get whatever crop, whether it's hemp in the future, you name it, it should allow you to establish that and give that plant a competitive advantage and take advantage of what's kind of been fallowed and hopefully the most, a good soil system in place for that.
So here's what my plan is, and I offer this as maybe a sample of what other people might do, whether it's in the Northeast or works better, maybe better in different parts of the country. I plant, when I plant at this time of year, I put barley in the seed mix, normally quite a bit of timothy because a lot of horses want the hay that I'm growing, but I also put lots of grasses and some clover in it. What do you think of that mix?
There's nothing wrong with that mix. We're actually using similar combinations. When we may not call it a fallow ground, but we're integrating that in to kind of build up the biomass and the field, the organic matter. It also helps keep the weeds down.
The barley's good for that. The barley's good nitrogen too, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, some of those systems you have to feed it, but it gives you a lot of flexibility with what you'd like to do long term with that, how you keep the crop, when you do you mow it down, do you incorporate it into the soil, things like that. There's a lot of good benefits with those practices.
One of the things that I'm doing, I'm starting this year on my farm as well, is a compost. I've always had kind of a composting thing, but I'm going to be mixing leaves and grass and that sort of thing with an old hay that I don't have. But this is going to be a pretty good, pretty large operation. I'm going to mix food stuffs, food waste into the product. And the state says one of the reasons I'm doing it is because it requires of the person doing it that they give half of it to me. And I don't use commercial fertilizers, so I think this would be good. My own sense is that it'll help add to the soil. What do you think about this sort of composting? And should farmers be looking at this all around the country?
Yeah, I think if you have the system in place for large-scale composting, it's really valuable. One example, when I was in Costa Rica, we had a large research farm with the University of Costa Rica there, several thousand acres. They had a huge compost production facility. A lot of that, they could either sell it, obviously. There was a value to that to homeowners. But not much of that could be incorporated back into these volcanic soils, and it helped maintain the stability of the soil better. So I would say it has, especially if you're able to do that at the scale you're talking about, it does have a lot of advantages.
Yeah, I just think that we need to know what we're putting on. I think it goes back to what we started focusing on in the beginning of our conversation, whether or not farmers know what they are putting on the fields, what they're putting in the fields, what's on the seed, that kind of stuff. Because if you don't really know, and you see, you know, it's kind of like the instant gratification of having an ice cream cone. Wow, that tastes great. But then if you have an ice cream cone every day, what's it doing to your arteries and to your heart and to your circulatory system? But it tastes great. And so then people will say, oh, yeah, it's great. I love ice cream. And then the same thing is true here. As I said, you got this research that you're doing. I'm looking at the short-term economic advantage of having stuff And I always use Monsanto as an example. One of the things that I keep saying to people that they don't even realize, well, people around me don't even realize it, that used to use it. I've talked pretty much everybody around me out of using it. But one of the things that's so insidious about Monsanto and Roundup is it'll kill the weeds, but it doesn't kill the seeds. So built into it is the next problem. You got to keep buying Roundup to kill the weeds, but you don't kill the seeds. Back to what you're saying. People just don't know. And we're thankful for guys like you who are spreading the word. Let me take a pause here for a moment. We'll continue on. Got some more time with Dr. Paul Esker. And questions, answers about what you're doing to enhance the soil. That's his whole deal. In the interest of helping people take care of themselves, speaking about where we are right now and what we put into our bodies, most people in America, farmers included, are overweight. It just is a fact of life. And unfortunately, the disease that we're most concerned about now is something that attacks people who are overweight. The problems that are caused with your health because of what you're eating and how much you're eating and all that sort of thing. So if you know you have an underlying health condition that's brought about by weighing too much, the folks at Calitrin are here to help you out, because your health certainly matters all the time. But certainly now it matters more than ever, because you don't want to have the problems that come with extra weight. So this is the safe, natural weight loss program, Calitrin, all natural, good for you, because it doesn't have any drugs in it, no stimulants in it, doesn't interfere with any medications that you're taking, doesn't interfere with any of your health conditions. In fact, it makes you healthier to lose the weight. That's it. So it's a healthy supplement, has side benefits, helps you rest better, all of the things that are explained in detail at their website, toploss.com, will help you understand why this makes so much sense, why so many people get on the program. It's been around for 25 years, 86% success rate. What else do I need to tell you? Other than when you go to the toploss.com website, use the code DJV, you won't have to pay shipping, and you'll be able to buy any number of bottles over three and get exactly twice as many. Won't cost you as much. So you buy three, get three free. Buy 10, get 10 free. That'll last till the end of April, it looks like, at the present moment anyway. Calitrin, toploss.com, the website. Use the code DJV to help save money and save yourself.
Honey, listen to this. Our dog and our cat both need pet care products, right?
Uh-huh.
And it costs us a small fortune to buy pet care products. There must be a place online that sells them for less.
Uh-huh.
And I think I just found it. SmartClickPetCare.com.
Uh-huh.
The company behind it is Budget Pet Care, known for top quality. And they've got all the brand name products. Frontline, Advantage, Revolution, HeartGuard, Capstar, and more. All at great prices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why should we pay more? SmartClickPetCare.com will help us save, save, save. Honey, are you listening to me?
Yes, dear. But let's hear what the radio announcer has to say.
Right now, get an extra 10% off plus free shipping on your order at SmartClickPetCare.com. SmartClickPetCare.com. Hey, that's a cute dog and cat you have there.
Thanks.
Pay less for quality pet care products. SmartClickPetCare.com.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. As men get older, certain screenings are an important part of maintaining overall health. A prostate screening is one of the most important, since cancer of the prostate is the third leading cause of cancer death in American men.
The current recommendations from the American Urological Association, which is probably the most specialty board type area for this, says that you should undergo routine PSA screening, so it's a blood test that you get, starting around age 55 up until about age 69.
Urologist Dr. Landon Trost says that earlier screenings may be recommended for people with higher risk factors.
Strong family history. It can be much, much younger. Whereas certain risk factors, African Americans, for example, are more likely to get prostate cancer, and hence they're screened at younger ages.
His advice? Sit down with your doctor and decide if the test is right for you. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
Back here on the American Family Farmer with Doug Steffen and Dr. Paul Esker, who is from the epidemiology department field. Well, is there a department? You're in the research extension teaching unit. So are you the only one? And how many people are there like you on universities around the country? Are you pretty much the Lone Ranger here?
In my home department, I would kind of fit that description. But Penn State's a little unique because actually we have a Center for Infectious Disease Dynamics, which is in a different institute on campus. We have a lot of epidemiologists, many working on human epidemiology, but also there's programs in veterinary epidemiology. But many of us who are on the plant side, yeah, we're kind of lone wolf, maybe not, but pretty dang close, actually.
Yeah. So how does that affect you? Is this something, when you go home, do you talk to your wife about this?
So ironically, my wife is an agronomist. And so also graduated from Iowa State and works in similar fields. So you can probably guess our dinner time conversation is pretty different than most, I think.
What does your lab look like? What and how much time do you actually spend in the lab versus an office or doing research? But the research has got to work itself around the lab, right?
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, my time in the lab is very minimal these days. I have right now probably about 10 people from postdocs, people with doctorates, to graduate students, starting a handful again soon, assuming we can move forward with everything with coronavirus. But, you know, they're the ones really driving the engine. I get to talk with people like yourself and do these sorts of things and synthesize a lot of it. But a lot of my job is probably more administrative than it is hands-on.
Well, but you also do a lot of writing. Does it boil down? Are you satisfied that the information is pretty down and dirty, pardon that pun, and does it get into the hands of people so that they can read it and understand? See, that's why I had you here, because I think your message is so important. And I don't think the message is getting out. I still think that you're beating the drum against the Monsanto vibration and others, and so your message may not be getting through as well as it ought to.
We do our best. We do a lot of writing. We do a lot of writing for different target audiences. I have a good colleague who's at Kansas State University, and he put it this way. He feels that in the systems he works in, you have to repeat the message almost five times, and five times could be like 5 years, and that's when the light bulb finally registers. But I think we're doing some things now that will allow us to move forward a little differently using farmer-driven data, and that's going to be a big change for us going forward.
So I asked you about going to the laboratory. How much time do you spend on the farm, or have you spent? I know you spent time down in Central America, South America, earlier on in your career, but how much now do you, and I would think, do you have a farm? I would think where you are there in Pennsylvania is a great place to, you're in State College, right?
Yeah, we're in State College. We have a research farm here. And then we have one in our southeast area in Lancaster County that I spend a lot more time there than I had in the past year, but some of that's logistics right now. And we do a lot on farm. We're working in 20 to 30 counties in Pennsylvania and the Commonwealth.
Do you just show up, or do people invite you, knock on the door? Hey, Fred, I'm here to help you grow better crops and be smarter about your farming.
It varies a little bit. We often get open invitations like that, but we usually do try. We don't just try to show up on somebody's farm without asking first.
Well, I think that your information is fascinating. Maybe it's because in my research I found the same thing, and I agree with you. But it's very helpful and very important. Dr. Paul Esker, Penn State University. You can go online. You can Google him, E-S-K-E-R, and you also go to Penn State and find out what he's working on. Get some of your questions answered. Thank you, Dr. Esker, for being here on The American Family Farmer.
Have you found yourself asking, where has all the common sense gone? Hey, I'm Mock.
And I'm Daisy.
And every week we'll be answering the questions that you've been too scared to ask. If you feel like your kids are speaking a totally different language, or you just missed the simpler days before political correctness, this is the show for you. We're having fun with the news because life's way too short to take it too seriously. Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense cast on your favorite podcast app.
Migraines can attack anytime, anywhere. Now there's a new kind of pill you can take anytime, anywhere to treat them. Introducing Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant.
Ubrelvy can provide relief from migraine pain and debilitating symptoms without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack. One dose can quickly stop a migraine in its tracks within 2 hours, and many had pain relief in just 1 hour.
Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for migraine prevention. It is available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Few people had side effects. The most common were nausea, 2-4%, and tiredness, 2-3%.
While normal routines have shifted, the need for migraine treatment remains the same. Contact your healthcare provider to see if Ubrelvy is right for you. Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn about support and resources at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by Allergan.
The COVID-19 pandemic threatens millions. Courageous health workers are risking their lives to protect us all, but many don't have the supplies and support they need. Over the past 60 years, Project Hope has trained and equipped health workers in over 100 countries. Now, as the pandemic spreads, Project Hope is expanding its work in the United States and around the world. To learn more about Project Hope's coronavirus response, visit projecthope.org. Sponsored.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Stephan here on the American Family Farmer. Don't forget our podcast every week with more information. The current one that I have underscored is my feelings about doing business with the Chinese, the problems that are related to the COVID-19 situation, and what I'm going to do is try to avoid doing any business with any Chinese entity. We haven't got that luxury because there are a lot of Chinese inveigle themselves into our business practices here in America on the farm. And so now this comment. The focus on COVID-19, I want to get away from the Chinese a little bit because there's so many questions that so many people have about COVID-19 and what, I mean, it's like anything else. It's affected every bit of all of our lives. So are farmers taking extra precautions on the farm? Are they rethinking things like labor and labor strategies, that sort of thing? Methinks that is that is actually what's going on the farm. I was looking at a farm out in New York where a farmer has turned March Madness into March Sadness
on his farm. He has focused on farm workers, the fact that they can't get to him. He can't have public contact with people that would normally come to his farm. And we all know the March Madness has gone away. So the sad thing is that people are not able to go at the moment to farms to even pick up dairy, to do things that we are used to doing. This time of year, you get your seeds, maybe you get plants. There are cooperatives that are trying to basically distribute things, getting together the farmers in local communities. You can go onto their websites and you can order things like how many tomato plants. You know, one of the things that's going to come out of this year, I'm convinced. My friend who's the produce guy in the town, I'm the dairy guy, he's the produce guy. And we share a lot of land. He's going to plant a lot more this year because people are asking him more about what he's going to grow. And they're also asking him if he can supply them with plants. And he grows lots of tomato plants, and he sets out lots of things like spinach that he replants, you know, the stuff that you don't just put into the... He likes to get it started because people want to have good veggies starting in May. So once the frost is gone, you take the plants that you've started from seeds and you put it out, and people want to buy that stuff from him more now than ever before because they want to have a little backyard garden. I think you're going to see a tremendous increase. Look, when you go to the normal places, you might buy a few seeds. I noticed this in my hardware store. I noticed it in a feed store that is nearby, and I've also noticed it in the big box stores like Home Depot. There are some seeds that are just gone. Like you can't find radish seeds, you can't find lettuce seeds, you can't find spinach seeds, you can't find things that grow in small areas because people are buying them and they want to... You know, I had a friend of mine who borrowed my rototiller. he had a backyard patch of about 100 by 100 and he ground it up with a rototiller so he can have his own garden. And that's part of what's going on as a result of the COVID-19. A good thing. I think this is going to bring people closer to the soil, closer to the food supply. I think that's the thing. This is just the beginning, frankly. The long-term effects of the outbreak on vegetable growers and the business, I think, is yet to be determined. I think that people are going to stick to, maybe they'll start planting now and they'll keep planting until July 4th. It may be that you don't see anybody at your farm stand until July 4th because you may not be able to open up until then, depending on where you are. And then there's the question for farmers about workers, seasonal help, and where you get it. I actually am quite happy about what the president did to just shut down immigration because in terms of we need some of the help that's used to coming to the farms, but we also got 30 million people that are unemployed at the moment. So why aren't we looking to them? I know a fellow that runs, not this guy that I talked about this is my neighbor, but another fellow who's a truck farm. He's been talking to local bartenders and people that work in restaurants, people who work in gyms, people who work in theaters, people who work in retail outlets that are closed. Farmers are, I think you ought to consider looking at those who are in the service industry as a new source of temporary labor. We certainly need it. And this is, I think this is a great place to go. Put Americans to work on the farm. It's good, honest work, and there are a lot of different positions. So if you're looking for a way, you can go to the unemployment office and see who's getting unemployment and talk to them about hiring help. I think that would be the way to get started this year in looking at the health thing. An idea in commentary form from Doug Steffen on this week's American Family Farmer.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.